Talk about battling bitterness in the home. Two passages to call attention to in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Again, battling bitterness in the home. This month we're talking about the home. The Hebrews writer says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I would encourage you to read the entire text, but notice the phraseology, lest any root of bitterness. So anything that can cause something to start growing. Think of a root, how it's underground, and we'll talk about that just a little bit more. Then look at Ephesians chapter 4, 31 through 32. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's interesting that in Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32, you have the command to maintain the unity or endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the first part of chapter 4, verse 3, and we have to walk worthy of it, so it's a pursuit. And then when you get to chapter 5, sandwiched in between the passages we just read, you're going to see a husband and wife relationship where a wife has to be submissive to her husband and a husband has to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And yet they both have to love each other. So there's a lot of room here to consider why and what bitterness really looks like. In homes, I would suggest the domestic home, that's where bitterness is the worst case scenario. And it seems to be a dangerous proposition between a husband and a wife. And yet God made a man, made a woman, and made a woman for a man. And yet often it is the case that bitterness is right there in the home. I wonder right here in 9th and Main how much bitterness exists in our own families. What does it look like? Well, if you look at the phrase in Hebrews 12:15, it's a root that's hidden. Roots are hidden. It usually begins with a hurt emotion or a feeling that wasn't dealt with. It never was reconciled. A slight that wasn't talked about, wasn't addressed, a slight, a sin that wasn't confessed or forgiven, a sin. It'll show up in our words, apparently in Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32, when it uses this phraseology, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Do words matter? Are they attached to the fruit of bitterness? If bitterness has a root, it's going to start looking like words, which is going to manifest itself into a lot of things. And so, in the home, again, it might look like this. Short, sharp replies. Not just what we say, but how we say it. Mike, you preached on that Sunday morning. Sarcasm. It's really a resentment just dressed up, sarcasm, true bitterness. I believe that a lot of people that say, well, that's just a joke, they're not really joking. There's more to it. And that joke wasn't very funny, by the way. But people will try to say, that was just a joke. They're trying to make light of something. So again, sarcasm, really dressed up. A mental score, a scorecard. How many of us keep mental scorecards of everyone's faults or what you've done wrong to me? Do you do that? I don't even think like that. I just learned to move on. Have to. It doesn't mean I shouldn't rebuke sin if I have to, and I will. But nonetheless, I also have to practice meekness and patience, forbearance with one another. So we don't want to keep a mental scorecard. Coldness, being in the same house but not really with each other. Do you have a home like that? Where you're in the same house but you're not really together? So I would say again, bitterness is when I start replaying what someone did to me more than I replay, here it is, what Christ did for me. Now think about that. The only way I'm really going to get over resentment and bitterness, which I think are the same in the same family, you tell me if I'm wrong, but the Bible says, as a master would work for, or servant would work for his master, there's one phrase there. He says, you work for that master as unto the Lord. You have to know the Lord. Do you know a lot of resentful, bitter people that go to work every day, can't stand their masters? You think it would help if they knew the Lord? I guarantee it would help. And so now you're getting to the end of this lesson, and I want to address the seriousness of it and what we must do. Again, the Hebrews writer said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby, he didn't say a few be defiled, he said how many? Many be defiled. Many. I guarantee you, many people today are suffering because of their own bitterness, because they will not look to Christ. If you cannot look to Christ, you will never look at people and find your redemption. You can't save me. And I love you, and I like being around you, but the thing that makes me want to be around you is the fact that I know Christ. It doesn't mean I always like you. I believe there's a difference between like and love. I love my wife, but I know I don't always... Well, I know she don't always like me. You see how that works? But I know she loves Christ, and I do too, and so we work it out. I accept who she is for what she is after almost 30 years of marriage. You think I've learned her insecurities? Do I have a temptation every now and then to pour a little salt in that little insecurity and rile her up? The only one that can't answer that's Gina. Yeah, and she might do the same to me, but I won't admit it. That's where bitterness comes from, and you have to deal with that. So again, bitterness troubling you, it just doesn't hurt the person you're mad at. It eats you from the inside. It steals joy from everything you do in worship, in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 3, do you remember what Peter says about husbands and wives and their prayers? Let's look at this passage just for a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 3, notice here verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Notice how we have to dwell with our wives, husbands. They don't like being analyzed, I think. I don't think you like being analyzed or overanalyzed. But we're told to, again, dwell with you according to knowledge. We need to respect you, give honor to the wife. And know, according to knowledge, biologically, you're the weaker vessel. You have a lot more going on in many ways. And yet, what are we together? Mutual, together. Heirs. Joint heirs is another way that can be translated. Of the grace of life. And then if we don't dwell together in peace and harmony and love, then what is the potential for that which is most important here? Do we need prayer in the home? Husbands, wives, do you pray together? Your prayers will be hindered. Literally means cut off. That word hindered is sometimes used in other contexts, like cutting down a fruitless tree, cutting it off. And so here it's talking about prayers being literally cut off, no effect. So bitterness in the home. And so a bitter spirit in one heart can become a bitter culture in a whole house. And it has to be stomped out. And so what I'd like you to do is as I wrap this up, go back to the book of Ephesians. That root of bitterness, Hebrews 12:15 is talking about, will destroy you. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and notice these passages. I'm going to back up just a little bit. There's a lot of context here about anger and so forth. Look at verse 26. I could go on and on. It's about putting on the new man here, which is renewed in knowledge and holiness and after righteousness created in God, verses 24 and following. But verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Okay, anger's a part of our makeup. I get that. But we have to learn how to deal with it. Don't sin. Don't let your wrath turn to sin or anger. So let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, I will tell you, it's okay to take a walk sometimes. That's not saying you can't take a walk. Take a breather, step away. But it's just saying, don't just let the sun just set on this thing and you never deal with it. It may take 24 hours to deal with this. There have been some times in my home, early on in marriage, I didn't understand her. And I had to take a walk and figure me out. Not so much her. And so sometimes that's good, but then watch what it says here. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Be careful what you say. One of the things I tried to never do with my wife and my family was call my mommy when I was a young married man and complain about my wife. But do men do that? But I refuse, and I bet you my mom can confirm that. I would not speak bad about my wife. But I know some that do that. Do you think that hurts the wife when she finds out her husband's talking to her mother-in-law? Don't do that. You guys need to work that out. If you find a preacher, find someone that can help you, we're here to help. But you've got to be careful not to allow communication to proceed out of your mouth that's going to corrupt. So you need to speak that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Look at the idea of using words here. And then in verse 30, don't begrudge or grieve the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit made you holy. His word sanctifies you. John 17:17. Don't begrudge the truth. The truth should expose all the ugliness in your life. If you're walking in the light exposes what? 1 John 1:5-10. It exposes the darkness. You know what God's trying to do really in a good holy marriage, a good holy relationship between two God-fearing, Christ-loving people? He really wants you to work things out. Don't run from it. Work it out together. Study your Bible together. Be committed together. Go to Bible class together. Get on the same page together, and you think that'll eradicate bitterness? But if you're not on the same page, you think, what's going to happen? The alternative is bitterness. And that root will continue to fester. And so then that's the context of what we're dealing with here. And so I would just say, reminding us of all what verse 32 says. Ephesians 4. Be ye kind one to another. One of the greatest gifts God ever gave us was His loving kindness. And then teaching us the ability to just do the same, to express and give loving kindness to my friend, to my neighbor, to my best friend. And you know, when I learned to say, I'm sorry, I can do better. You know, that just takes a burden off all of our shoulders. It takes a light load off. Does it feel good when someone says to you, I'm sorry? Have you ever tried it? I know some people that seems like they can't ever say I'm sorry. They're so proud they couldn't accept that they've ever done anything wrong. But not me. I make a lot of mistakes. And when I own them and say I'm sorry and try to speak kindly, it makes me feel better too. It doesn't make me weaker. Just makes me realize God loves me, and that I hope that you know that I love you too. And that'll kill a lot of this bitterness in the family. I hope that'll help us as you analyze these principles. I didn't mean to talk so long, but it's hard not to. Sorry, Royce. But we've got to eradicate bitterness in the home, okay? We got to eradicate it in the world. And you're not going to do it if you don't practice it. You've got to get rid of it. You're going to suffer from hardship and hurt. I can't tell you you won't be hurt in this life. People throw a lot of stones. But it's up to us to take those stones, be clay, catch them, and eradicate bitterness in my life. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can't even possibly begin to battle or overcome this problem. But in Christ you can, because that's where you'll find your strength and your power. Your courage, your again conviction to do what's right, because it's for Christ. If anyone could have suffered bitterness, it would have been Christ. What did he do wrong to go to the cross? He did nothing. And so we should look to that and remember how much we've been forgiven. And if you know you need to repent of your sins and obey the gospel, you've never done so, be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins, let the Lord save you, add you to his body, the church, then we want to extend that invitation to you. You can make that decision this evening. If you're here and you need to overcome bitterness, you need help, you need the prayers of the congregation, then we want to help you. We're here to help you. I can guarantee you we've suffered with bitterness, and we can help you work through that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if we can help you with anything, won't you let us know? Us together we stand and we sing.